three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Time now for headlines as we predict what will happen on Sunday as the Packers take on the Vikings at Lambeau Field.
Packers Hall of Famer Mark Tauscher.
I'm going to do something crazy.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio at ESPN Madison.
I'm going to say kissing cousins. Pack bikes tied.
And celebrating 10 great years on ESPN Wisconsin.
He missed it again! And we'll end this crazy game in a tie. Oh my goodness.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Clock hour of Wilde and Tausch begins now as we get to the top five of these ESPN quarterback rankings. By the way, we love Jeff Passan on this show, and you guys should check out what he said about the home run derby and the format.
I love the idea of bringing an aluminum bat. I think that's a great idea. See some guys hitting 600-700 foot home runs. How fun would that be?
You gonna watch it tonight?
No.
Netflix.
Yeah, I heard. Maybe I will. I like Netflix.
What does Scott Fitzgerald think of that?
Watch a little Homeland, then watch a little Netflix.
Listen to Homeland.
Yeah, being good.
All right. At number five on our list, before we move off this lengthy discussion, I feel like this will go quickly because I'm not sure there's anyone that we can really quibble with. Except for maybe the guy at number four, because certain people on this panel might be down on him. At number five, Lamar Jackson of the Baltimore Ravens.
You're down on Burrow?
I'm not, no.
Who's down on Burrow?
I feel like you always bring up how injured he is, even though he hasn't really been that injured.
No, I'm not. I'm a Joe Burrow believer.
Well,
Jesse, you don't like Burrow?
I think he's riding a lot on that one playoff run from 2021.
I haven't that's
done,
a fair
haven't
criticism.
Done much since 2021.
Yeah, no, all of these guys, I think, it'll be NERP for me. Nerps. Josh Allen, Mahomes, stat. The reality is all of these players have done more for a longer period of time. And even though you could say, well, Mahomes is coming back from an injury, and Burrow, as Jesse just said, he hasn't done anything.
Stafford's
old. He's got a bad back. Stafford was the MVP last year, had a great season. Joe Burrow had a really good season. Josh Allen is a dog, and Lamar Jackson is Lamar Jackson. So none of those guys, and I don't think many Packer fans would – it'd be tough to disagree with that sentiment. And, again, Jordan Love, I think we've covered this pretty extensively. He is a good football player. What I like most is that his trajectory is going the right way. He is getting better. You could see all the command. There's so many things that you just love about where he is headed that you should be excited about him. And I'm not one of these guys that thinks he's stuck at being a B player. I think he's going to get better and better. And it's amazing how much the perception of a quarterback changes when their team has postseason success. That's what he's missing. And he's had those opportunities. That's why... You know, I think a lot of us, when they lost that game to San Francisco, were, oh, well, he'll get back. And just the mindset of understanding, and Dan Campbell said this after they blew that lead out in the NFC Championship game, it is so blank and hard to get back there. It's so hard. You have these opportunities, even when maybe you don't think you're ready for them. When they come along, you have to snatch them because you don't know. There's so many variables that come into play in the NFL. And time marches on so quickly. That game, had he won that and gotten to an NFC champ in his first year?
Right.
All of a sudden, all of this, he's a top five guy. Nobody's even blinking. But when you don't, and then you have some seasons that you turn the ball over a little bit one year, and then you can't get out and you're a seventh seed, you can't win the division. That narrative takes over earlier. And then it's even that much harder to get over the hump, and that's what Jordan and the Green Bay Packers are going to be dealing with.
So how do you then view his last two playoff performances?
Oh, the Philadelphia game was a disaster. That was just bad football.
I mean,
Was that two years ago or 3 years ago? I can't even remember. That was brutal. Last year, first half, he looked dynamite. Second half, that's where you hope that growth takes over and you just find a way to make a couple of firsts. And listen, was it Jaden Reed dropped that ball in the third or fourth quarter?
I think it was Watson.
There were a couple of plays where if you make a play, all of a sudden that whole thing looks a lot different too, but you didn't. And that's the reality of football. The margins are so thin. One or two things that don't go your way and you end up getting beat. And that's all everybody talks about. The narrative is shaped by how the postseason goes. And unfortunately, the Green Bay Packers postseason, the last couple, have been really tough to watch. And that's why these narratives, that's why you see Caleb Williams at 10. It's all because of the comeback and the way they beat the Green Bay Packers. Or Jordan Love is probably 9 or 10 if that game doesn't happen.
So Jordan Love has played 4 career playoff games. One in Dallas, lost in San Francisco, but they had the lead in the fourth quarter. Trounced, turned the ball over a ton, 3 picks in Philly, and then obviously a tale of 2 halves in Chicago. Although he did make some pretty critical plays down the stretch late when he was able to have time. The Packers' record in those 4 games is 1-3. He has completed 60.4% of his passes with 9 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. 3 in the Philly game, and then again, 2 in that San Francisco game, which I look back on those, Tausch, as moments of growth, but you would have loved to have avoided those because I think then they win the game. Right? And then they are in the NFC Championship game.
If your place kicker makes a kick, you win the game, too.
Mm-hmm. Right. There are plenty of ifs, but he's got the ball. If we're going to criticize or if we're going to praise Caleb Williams for being clutch, he's got the ball in his hand, down 3, on the road in San Francisco, and on a first down play, he throws a Favre against New Orleans type throw, right? Back across the middle, across his body, late into triple coverage, right? So I view that as, hey, first-year starter playing with house money, great growth, but, man, you don't know when you're going to get back to that situation where you have the ball in your hands and a touchdown will send you to the NFC Championship game. But he hasn't gotten back there, and this team has not gotten back there. We'll see if that happens in 2026. All right, that is the Jeremy Fowler list of the quarterbacks.
So all in all, I think
Fowler's list is pretty good this year.
We agreed on 6. Well, we agreed on 12, 6 that were worse than Jordan Love and 6 that are better than Jordan Love. And then there were, what was that? What would that leave? 5, I think, that we disagreed on?
16.
4 or 5 we disagreed on?
Yeah. Yeah. That is the list of quarterbacks.
And I find it very interesting that these 30 or however many people he interviewed, that this is where Jordan Love is, this is how he's viewed around the league, because we do this every day.
Mm-hmm.
We're biased.
Mm-hmm.
Just admit that we're biased and don't try to hide it. I feel like my bias is fair, but I am pulling, and I do think Jordan Love is, I think he's probably better than what Jeremy Fowler's people said he is, but I don't think it's a crazy, and he's not crazily off. Like, if you put him at 9 or 8, I think everybody could argue that.
Yeah.
And you could also argue that he should be in the top 10. It's a fair argument, I think, to be had. Now, if you said that Josh Allen shouldn't be, you're an idiot. Nobody's saying that Jeremy Fowler's thing's an idiot at this point. They're saying, well, a snub and all this. But that's the beauty of this, Jordan. And I know, what did he rank? 71, and Micah Parsons came out, which Micah should. It's better than I think when Justin Jefferson didn't rank his quarterback in the top 5. I'd prefer my players say, yeah, they got snubbed. This is BS. He's not a 7. I'd much rather see that than go the other way, because then you know there's some issues.
All right, so last thing on this. Jeremy Fowler writes in the Caleb Williams section. Here's where it gets interesting. Four quarterbacks, Williams, Sam Darnold, Jordan Love, and Jaden Daniels, were very close in voting for the 10th spot. So we took to tiebreakers, gathering input from several general managers and executives. Why did Williams barely win out for the final spot on the list? This is now Jeremy Fowler asking himself questions.
Because Chicago's a big market.
He's the hardest of the four for teams to prepare for and defend. One GM. He's the most dynamic of the group of those four. He's got the arm talent and overall athleticism suited for today's game. I would argue Jordan Love has the arm talent now and the athleticism suited for it too, no? Do you think Caleb Williams is significantly a better athlete than Jordan Love is?
I do not.
I don't either. So that's where the rankings finish. Taush, I don't know when you've got your next trip to MoMA planned, but I know you're moving around better with their help.
No doubt, feeling a lot better. And if you've been putting off dealing with pain in your knee, your shoulder, your back, neck, whatever it might be, you don't need to. Go ahead, go in, take a look at partnering up with MoMA. That's what I did. Midwest Orthopedic and Musculoskeletal Alliance. MoMA brings together trusted local providers, OIW, SMOC, and innovative pain, making it easier to find the right specialist and the right treatment for you, because I think a lot of people, it's just overwhelming. I don't know where to park. I got to go here, and then I got to get this test, and I got to do this and do this. And none of that. You're going to get directed into one of their offices, whether it's the surgery center, SmartScan, Mosh, or for me, I went to Ortho Laser. Wanted to get some more blood flow. Wanted to get some limit some of this inflammation, some of the problems I was dealing with. Ortho Laser has helped me do that. I have not felt this good in quite a while. MoMA can get you back doing what you love. Call or walk in today and get started on you feeling better so you can go out and do what you want to do.
Pains me to say this, but Sean David, who is a Bears fan in the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube comments, asks what I think is a germane question. I will pose it to Jesse and Taush next. It's Wildy and Taush.
This is Wildy and Taush, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Sean David, if that's your real name, we appreciate you bringing your Bears fandom to the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channel. Again, you can stream the show if you're listening on the air, over the air radio, or streaming the audio. You can also watch it on our ESPN Milwaukee and ESPN Madison YouTube channels. The question that he poses is this: hey, Mr. Wildy, would the state of Wisconsin really take Love over Williams if they could draft him right now? That can't be the case. The eye test is all you need.
Well, Cap got after us. Was that last year when we got into a little squabble with the old Capinator?
Mm-hmm.
I really think it's a coin toss.
I'm not saying Love is bad like all the other Bears fans. I'm just saying Caleb's ceiling is way higher. Love's ceiling has been reached. I'm not sure I agree with that part yet. And if it hasn't, then LaFleur is to blame, right? I brought this on myself. I said this was what I wanted. I was very open about that. It was not a popular opinion. It remains an unpopular opinion. But this is great. This is what I want. Now, are Bears fans a little more obnoxious than I anticipated? Yes, I underestimated that. Is Caleb Williams difficult to like if you're a Packers fan? Like, do you think Packers fans look at him the way Bears fans at least respected Rodgers and Favre? Not yet. Is Ben Johnson difficult to like? Very much so. And yes, I'm doing my Favre just for you.
Did Packer fans like Mike Ditka?
I think so.
I feel like this is going to be, like, Ben Johnson's going to be that Mike Ditka for the Bears. Like, he kind of has turned this thing around where they, Ditka ran, I don't know how to look, Ditka was that guy, right? They've had other coaches that have come through and they've been okay. Lovey obviously had some success against us. But this feels like the alpha, the dude that Bears fans have gotten excited. I don't think they've been as excited about a coach since Ditka.
No, I would agree with you. Yeah, even though Lovey said the right things when he took the job. And by the way, had a pretty darn good career in Chicago.
If Packer, okay, obviously Lombardi and Halas. Is Holmgren our Ditka?
Probably, right? I mean,
I'm asking. You're the 30-year scribe. Who do you got? That's what I'm asking. I don't know. I look at things in segments. I don't know holistically. I hadn't really thought about it. Ditka, legendary. Is Holmgren considered legendary?
Absolutely, and it's ridiculous.
Is
that
McCarthy
he's not
considered legendary
in the Pro Football Hall of Fame? No. Again, this is just like the Wolf versus Thompson conversation. When you haven't done it for 30 years, and then you're the guy who brings the title back to Titletown, it's different than when you bring the title back to Titletown in 2010, after 1996 and 97 Super Bowl berths. So, no, I think Holmgren would be Ditka because, by the way, Ditka, like, I don't, who were the coaches before him? Neil Armstrong, which I didn't know that he both landed on the moon and coached the Bears.
Buzz Aldrin got screwed again.
From 1978 to 1981.
Buzz is second in the list, and he was the runner-up for the coaching job for the Bears.
Neil Armstrong was the head coach. And by the way, he went 64-30?
Who, Buzz Aldrin did?
No. He coached 64 games. The Bears were 30-34.
Do you think Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong thought through, Neil, like, when they jumped off, like, hey, we should both do this so that we're both doing it at the same time? Or you think Neil just jumped out there and said, I'm ready first?
The Bears had a tough first year under Neil Armstrong, but then they took one giant leap in year two.
That's pretty good. It's really good. This is why Holmgren and Ditka would be the comps. They both won Super Bowls after long wandering in the wilderness periods. The coaches before Ditka, our beloved Neil Armstrong was 30-34. Before that, Jack Pardee was 20-22.
Wow, he coached the Oilers for a while, old Jack Pardee.
Before that, it was Abe Gibron, who went 11-30-1. And Jim Dooley, who went 20-36. So they were all losers. They all had losing records. Those were the guys that followed Halas. Halas's last season as the coach was 1967. So, again, Ditka comes along in 82. They win the Super Bowl with their 85 team. So, yes, the Holmgren comp would be the one, not the Mike McCarthy
comp.
So,
even though McCarthy coached
longer,
double, because Holmgren went to the second Super Bowl, everybody is crowning Holmgren ahead of McCarthy.
Back to 2014.
No, I understand that, but we both, there's championship rings. There's only one on each.
Yep, it's true.
Holmgren got to a third. I made that comment, and Jesse, before I got it out of my mouth, is shaking his head. No, what I said is McCarthy legendary. Ditka's legendary. Holmgren. Jason, I'm leaning on you because you're scribed him. Legendary.
Yeah.
I barely got McCarthy's name out of my mouth, and Jason, nah. Double the time, definitely double the wins. Same Super Bowl. Street. Holmgren Street's bigger. It's just the whole thing is interesting.
And yet, the one with the shortest of the streets, Ron Wolf, is the one that's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. His street is very short behind Titletown. The Bears coaches after Ditka, Wanstead, Jerron, Lovie Smith, Mark Trestman, John Fox, Matt Nagy, Matt Eberflus. It's a lot of Matts. Thomas Brown as a interim, and now Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson is going to be a thorn in Packers fans' side. He's going to be douchey about it. It's going to be fun-ish, maybe. It's going to be really irritating. All right, we appreciate our Bears fan parachuting in. I do think his question, though, Tausch, is about ceiling. And if you had to pick one today with the evidence that you have, and he had to be your quarterback for the next 5 years, I don't feel like Jordan Love is the slam dunk because of the ceiling conversation we just had. Do
coin
you?
Coin toss.
Yeah. What did it come up?
Draft. That's Packers. So it comes up Jordan.
Okay.
Is it? I mean, Caleb was number one overall.
Yeah, but it says Green Bay on it.
Oh, okay.
The other side says Green Bay too, though.
So. Aren't you glad we left that in there for you?
Yeah, I knew that.
Nice little toy.
I know, yeah, it's nice. Very nice.
We'll check out our early start on the list of most important Packers.
Well, you sound skeptical on it. So you're telling me you'd take you would take old boy over Jordan Love?
You think I'm new here?
It's not quite a coin toss, but going back to the student thing, like, 3 out of 4 times, Caleb Williams is going to be a C, and then he's going to be an A the other time. Jordan Love every time is going to be the B plus. So are you going to gamble one out of four?
You
would get
a
better
parent,
Caleb
Jason,
Williams.
Do you want your kids shooting big, and maybe they're going to come up short and get a B or a C, but they're going to, or do you want steady Eddie A's, but with no drama and none of that? Well, like, what are you looking for? As your kids being students, do you want them to just take the easy classes?
No, you said Jesse's thing was a great line. It was for where he is currently. But my issue with that is I don't know if he's going to stay that way, Jesse. Like, I don't know if Caleb Williams is going to, with another year and then a year after that and then a year after that, with being in lockstep with his head coach, who is a really, he may be douchey, but he's a really smart offensive coach, right? He's a good play designer, good play caller. Like, he's, look what he did with Jared Goff, who neither of us nerped. We didn't take him over Jordan Love. Like, the guy's really good at what he does, as much as I hate to say it. So 3 years from now, when they've been together for 3 more seasons, I think it's definitely a possibility that Caleb Williams is better than Jordan Love, and we can't really disagree with it when Bears fans say it. But right now, today, yes, Jordan Love is the steady Eddie, good student who gets all of his homework in and does well on the final exam. And Caleb Williams is the guy that doesn't turn in half of his worksheets, but gets a perfect score on the final exam and pulls out the B for the class for the semester. I think it's a great analogy by Jesse. But I don't know, is he going to take that and continue to only be that guy? Or is he going to be the guy who becomes the really good student all semester long and then crushes the exam too? Because if he does that, he's the better choice. But again, I was hoping for this. This is what we've gotten. And I'm eager to see how the Packers 2 Bears games go this season, even though I'm not thrilled with one of them being on Christmas Day in Chicago. What I am thrilled with is the fact that Gruber Law Offices has been with us from the jump, and David and his team have been supportive of our show. And more importantly, they're supportive of you if you've been injured in an accident. One call, that's all. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Go to the website gruber-law.com to find out more. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
The conversation about quarterbacks rolls on in the YouTube comments. We're going to move forward, though, because Jesse's mad. Are you mad at The Miz? Are you mad at Murph? What are you mad at?
You sounded
yesterday, and this episode actually happened to be on as I was flipping through channels, and it was on Comedy Central. The Keith Hernandez episode of Seinfeld was on almost the exact moment that you sent your text suggesting that your day was ruined, Jerry, by Miz not pitching yesterday in the final game before the All-Star break, which, by the way, the Brewers lost. Did a position player end up pitching at any point in that 14-5 game? Anybody bet left-handed?
I don't think so. We're going to play trivia coming up, and there's a great nugget about who was pitching in those games for the Brewers, so start studying up. So I had a near-perfect second half of my up-north vacation. We had a huge day out on the lake on Saturday, went golfing with my brother-in-law in the morning, had a wonderful time up north. And we had it all mapped out. 11:15 Central Time, they were starting the Sunday leadoff game on Peacock yesterday. And it was going to be Miz versus Skeens. Going into the weekend, all the promotion for the game. Miz versus Skeens. Can't wait. Going to be huge. Going to be great. Well, that last start before the All-Star break. Both guys aren't pitching the All-Star game because they're pitching on Sunday. And so I never even thought to look at social media or anything on Saturday because, you know, we're having a big day down on the lake, out in the sun.
On vacation.
Signal's not so great because it's so crowded up there. So I wake up on Sunday and I wanted to just public service announcement, let you guys know, make sure you get your Peacock ready at 11:15. You had 2 hours to get it ready.
And sure, I like that phrase.
And then I'm made aware Miz isn't pitching. What?
How are you made aware?
Ashton texted, oh, no, you haven't heard. And I was like, oh, do they get rained out again? What happened? And then it was in our group text, you know, the big group text from the Outdoor Living Unlimited 10 for 10 last week.
Yeah, The Village.
And then I went on social media for the first time in a couple of days and saw him. I got people tweeting at me, oh, is it time to have a conversation about Mark? I'm like, what is all this happening? And yeah, Miz isn't pitching. He got scratched from the start. Gassers out there. And then they just get pummeled yesterday with Skeens on the mound for Pitzer, 14-5. It was 14-2. So instead of staying up north, watching the early game, doing our cleanup while the game's on, then driving home peacefully, we time it up so at least I'm going to drive home and listen to the game.
Sure.
Lane Grindle and Josh Maurer on the call. And it's 6-2 before you can blink. I don't even get to Green Bay. It's like, oh, this is done. So then we're turning on music the rest
Seems
of the way.
Seems pretty east.
It was
Green Bay.
And north.
Ruined the drive home, ruined the Sunday for the final day before the All-Star break.
My drive home was ruined.
It was. I understand.
Jacob?
It's smart to conserve Miz's innings. You got to watch his inning count. This is a smart place to try and get him a two-week break without actually missing
Is
much.
That how you feel? Do you really feel that way? Because you didn't feel like you felt, oh, this is smart. This is smart to manage his pitching load.
I believe you called it Strasburgian.
It's starting to feel a little bit like Strasburg, where, oh, we got to manage his innings, and even though the team's in first place and they're contending for the one seed in a first-round bye, we got to watch out, make sure he's not pitching too much. Well, then just don't pitch him so much early in the season. I don't understand how the medical staff looks at this and decides that the plan was he was going to pitch on Sunday. I don't know why they would go through all the motions of saying he's going to pitch Sunday, he's going to pitch Sunday, and then he throws one bullpen, and they say on Saturday evening after they lose the first two of a doubleheader, oh, yeah, we're not going to do that.
Jell, here's give him 2 weeks I agree off. With you. I have no problem if you plan things out and you say it. When you do this, it throws red flags up. It does put some concern out as far as, well, why? You're pitching every 5 or 6 days typically. And it's Miz, I think we're all sitting here, and I think even when Jeff Passan came on, you have this, he's so freakish with how he moves and how he's closer to the plate, all of the stuff that, you know, makes him great. You're always concerned about longevity and how much he's going to be able to go. The fact that Harrison now is on the DIL, Woody obviously going through his stuff, and the strength of this team has been, A, we're not losing. We win series, we're gritty, and we pitch. And all of a sudden now, our top three guys, not available. And I'm always leery when you do these things. You could have, and again, I didn't, I'm kind of like you, I was not paying a ton of attention to it until it came up. You want to snuff that out, and you want to go in. Momentum is a real thing in sports. People can argue it all they want. Pittsburgh, to lose, to get beat three in a row against Pittsburgh, all right, it happens. It's a long season. But the way it played out and how it was kind of just thrust upon and not really thought out, I want, if you're going to do this from an injury standpoint, I want it to be thought out. Not, now things happen. He could come back and say maybe 2 or 3 days and he's doing his bullpen. He's like, it's just not feeling strong. I get it. Stuff happens. But I'm more concerned than I want to be after that little three-game stretch. Not having any conversations, none of that. But I am more concerned than if they had just said after his last start, we have used him maybe a little bit more than we wanted. We're going to give him a beat over this 2 weeks. And it, you get the excitement of the skeins. You get all this other stuff, and then it doesn't, and you get your breaks beat in, and you're down, you lose three in a row. And all. It just does make you ponder, where are we at, and what's going to be, how we move forward with this next. It could just be, hey, Harrison's a little tight. Well, let's give him a beat. Let's give him a beat. We're going to go pick somebody up, and it's no big deal. But this is the first time that you kind of are seeing a little, a couple of cracks, and I don't like that.
So how, you obviously have a baseball background. Your wife is doing an amazing job of managing the
season's one, over. Yeah, we got beat.
Oh,
we got knocked out. Good season. Good season.
You understand why they want to be cautious with someone of such a
incredible
talent. And as Jeff Passan said to us, you kind of
Jason,
operate.
I'll look at it this way. If you said to me, hey, I'm going in. I'm going to go get checked. Some stuff has popped up. I'm going to go come in. I'm going to go get it looked at. Next Friday, I'm going in. I'd be like, best of luck. Hopefully everything goes well. If you call me on a Friday morning before a Friday show and say, blank, I got to go into the hospital, I'm probably going to be a little bit, what? That's what this is to me.
That happened once.
That's what this is to me.
I understand. At the same time, I guess I keep going back to what Jeff Passan said to us, which was essentially, it's not with pitchers, it's not a matter of if they will suffer some sort of injury. It's a matter of when, right? He's talking about the structure of the arm and everything else when he wasn't jumping out a window. And I just, like, I would do everything I can to try and prevent that for as long as possible if I feel like it's most likely going to happen. And
well, then why wait till a day before to do it? I'm not arguing at all. I think giving Miz 2 weeks here is really smart. But then let's plan and do it. Let's not throw up an APB and say,
Just say it on Wednesday after he goes seven innings against the Cardinals. Be like, hey, Miz had a great start yesterday. He threw 100 pitches. Like, we're going to play this safe. He gets an extra week and a half to rest.
He's feeling a little fatigued. We're going to give it a beat.
We've been riding him all season. He's been great. We're going to give him 10 days here.
And you apply that on with throwing old boy on a 15-day IL. Like, it's just, that's what got me. And so, then we knew you could have bet the house yesterday. That was going to be a bad day.
Yeah, they checked out. Yeah.
This team, that was my last point that I told Vinny, I guess Vinny's out, Telly and Eric this morning. When you are built on never giving in on anything, and that's what this Brewers team is, let's not kid ourselves. We're not the Dodgers. We don't give in. We're going to scrap. There's going to be some games that get away from you. When you did what we did, that was giving in yesterday. That was saying, we ain't winning this game. And that's all right. You're going to have some of those games. But when all of that comes up and it's not thought through, now maybe this was all thought through and they just didn't report their stuff, and that's fine too. So that's why I'm not – it's this is not a five-alarm fire. This is Yogi the Bear, Smokey the Bear with his hazard. It's been dry and hot. I'm saying let's just make sure when we're done camping, I would say it's at that yellow and green, like the – what is it, McGuire? What the hell does that say there? Medium? What does that say in there? McGuire? What does that mean? Low, McGuire, and moderate? Whatever it might be. All I'm saying is make sure there's some smoldering coals at your campsite. Let's make sure we throw water and let's dust that thing down so that when this fire season gets going, I don't want no forest fires. Let's make sure we clean up and handle our business.
Seriously, what does that say?
Meg Zier, I think it says.
That's not even the fourth letter isn't even a letter.
And then you don't even put it goes moderate and then just pipe in red? They don't have any words on it?
This is why Photoshop Greg hasn't contributed anything to us in a while. I think he got thrown off with this one.
No. Mark
Wait,
McGuire.
Are you sure that was him? Are you sure? This looks like AI to me.
Oh, it's totally AI. Well,
of course
I don't
it's
know.
AI. What do you think this he was? You think he was drawing this stuff?
No,
up
but Greg, I don't want to disparage Greg because I think Greg
uses
actually,
AI. Like,
no,
I think he uses that.
No, I think Greg uses more Photoshop than AI.
Red doesn't even
I
have
think
a
the
label.
AI
on.
Is part of the photo. That's what I'm saying. You don't even have anything there.
Oh,
where
no,
between
Jim.
Low and McGuire? But I'm saying it can get to moderate
Jim-Guire.
Quickly.
Yes. Low, McGuire, moderate, and flaming hot.
I forgot we named the bear Ergy the bear because for his urgency.
Urgency, yes.
Ergy.
How worried and concerned are we about Harrison?
Oh, I'm concerned.
He hasn't pitched great the last couple outings. Now he's got
he's been bad since
issues.
Vegas. He's been bad since Vegas. Vegas did
that little
something
baby
to him.
Park. Got yeah. him.
It happens to a lot of people when they go to Vegas.
And now all of a sudden, Durbin out in Boston's raking. Boston's winning. Remember how we? Yeah, I'm getting close to my McGuire stage. It was in that low range. No, okay, yeah. There's ups and downs. The more I'm looking at this, I'm getting more McGuire-ish on my Smokey the Bear scale.
All right, let's play some trivia. Jesse, before Tausch tells us about American Family Insurance, what's today's category and what caller would you like?
It is a Monday. The Sports Weekend Recap is our trivia category today. And since we've spent so much time talking about the top 10 quarterbacks list from Jeremy Fowler and Jordan Love wears number 10, it seems appropriate to ask for caller 10.
Beautiful. Caller 10 right now, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Caller 10 plays trivia after Tausch tells us about American Family Insurance.
Brew Crew, your dream game day starts at the parking lot patio located outside American Family Field next to the third base gate entrance. The parking lot patio is your go-to pregame hangout. Where finally, it seems like we haven't been back to Milwaukee in forever. You're going to have what an experience down there at the parking lot patio. You play yard games. You get free giveaways. It's free, fun, and open to fans of all ages. Stop by before your next Brewers home game. Again, that is right next to the third base gate entrance. The parking lot patio, presented by American Family Insurance.
Trivia's next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Jacob Mizorowski is an all-star.
Swing and a miss! He struck him out! A masterpiece from The Miz!
Tune into the Midsummer Classic on Tuesday, July 14th, right here on 100.5 ESPN.
I've just been informed that we have gone with a slightly different format to today's Wilde and Tausch trivia. I shall explain after we hear from Big Voice Guy telling us about Wilde and Tausch trivia, presented by Cousin Subs and Vortex Golf.
Wilde and Tausch trivia is brought to you by Cousin Subs. Cool down with the summer shake from Cousin Subs. Enjoy four delicious flavors, vanilla, chocolate, strawberry, and mint. Cousin Subs, we believe in better. And by Vortex Golf. Trivia winners this week receive a hat, ball marker, sticker, and a blade rangefinder courtesy of Vortex Golf. Rangefinders you can bet on.
Let's welcome in our contestant. It is Eric in Green Bay. ENGB, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're great. All right, Jesse, before we play, explain to Eric what you've done here.
So, for the sake of what our third and final question will be today, we're going to try something we've never done in Wilde and Tausch trivia history before. We're going to go hardest to easiest.
Have accurate answers and good questions.
Thanks. That's good, Tausch. Yeah. We're going to go hardest to easiest. So hardest question is up first.
God, doesn't it just feel wrong?
It does.
We've been doing it this way forever.
I'm going to just ask you to trust me. The payoff at the end is going to be worth it here for everybody.
Okay. Well, here we go. Question number one, which is the allegedly hardest, is this. Eric, which former professional tennis player won his third American Century Championship title at the annual Celebrity Golf Tournament on Sunday in Lake Tahoe? Is that player Pete Sampras, Marty Fish, or Andy Roddick?
I'm gonna guess the middle name. It's summer in Wisconsin. The question's a little fishy. I have no clue. We're gonna guess Marty Fish.
I think you're right.
I don't know how you arrived at it, but you arrived at the correct answer. Marty Fish. I believe he's pals with the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback as well, who did not take part in that tournament, which I think he had been in it for like 20 years. Question two, E, is this. Following action in the World Cup quarterfinals this weekend, which of these is not one of the matchups in the semifinals coming up on Tuesday and Wednesday? Okay? So two of these games are the semifinal games and one isn't. Is it England versus Argentina, Spain versus France, or Norway versus Portugal?
Norway, Portugal.
Indeed, both of those teams losing. Erling Haaland, his World Cup is over as well. All right, here we go. An opportunity for a clean sweep to start the week with allegedly the easiest of the three questions.
I'm very fascinated.
This puts a ton of pressure on me right now.
Well, no, there's pressure on Jesse. What were the two answers so far? I just am trying to piece this together. So it was Marty Fish,
Norway, Portugal. They're not related to the final question.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'll just... All right.
You'll get it in a second.
Okay.
Question number three is this.
He's going to say one word, and you're going to understand why we did it this way.
Yar! Which of these be the real name of a Milwaukee Brewers relief pitcher who made two appearances over the weekend in Pittsburgh against the dreaded Pirates? Is that pitcher's name Craig Yoho?
Yeah. Let's,
Henry.
Let's there.
Wait for it, Eric. Gar.
It worked so
Henry
hard on this
Ahoy.
One. Or Tyler Captain Yar.
The answer be Craig Yoho.
Yoho, the Pirate life for me, indeed.
Yoho against the Pirates, you be kidding. You couldn't draw it up any better in Pittsburgh.
I guess I don't understand why that couldn't be the first question.
Because we needed the music, it was a whole to-do. We needed to build up to it, Yar. Also, I need to remind you that for question two, that Discount Liquor soccer update is brought to you by Discount Liquor. Stop by in Milwaukee or Waukesha for all ye tailgating needs.
If I can quick end the trivia with one little iota. Well, I don't think I put in the legwork to be in the Legends tournament going on right now. To relive my Wilde Tausch trivia moment, though, few years ago, that was me with the ginseng county that Tausch gave away.
Well, I did screw that one
and,
up.
What was funny is my wife and I were driving to see one of her roommates from med school in Iowa, and we had terrible reception, and she's like, you should call in a trivia. I'm like, it's actually really hard to call in. And, you don't really, and of course, I call in and get in, and she's in the front seat listening, and like, do they always give you the answers? It was the most bizarre trivia experience I had, even on the other end of it. But that for me was an all-timer. This was number two.
Yeah, we don't normally give the answers, but we certainly did that day. You didn't need the answers today, Eric. You got all three right. That means you got four.
And Arg, I love you guys.
Arg, wait a minute, Eric. If you still have time, I do have one more question for you, if you don't mind.
There was no way that we were getting out of this without a pirate joke.
You still there, Eric?
All right. I got the time for you, lads.
Of course you do.
That's Irish now.
Craig Yoho. What did the pirate say to the plumber?
What did he say?
You cracking me up?
Close, Tausch. Release the Kraken, get to work. A plumber joke and a pirate joke.
Eric, thanks, buddy. Right, we appreciate you.
I don't want to clog up any more of your time. Take care.
Oh,
love
nice.
You guys.
A little plumbing joke.
Yeah, that's a plumbing joke. The 11 o'clock hour will start late, but it will start in 2 minutes.
Craig Yoho against the Pirates.
Yoho, it's the pirate life for me. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.